Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information. Thank you.
Let me read this whole psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Now, there are three things that we see in the first verse that I think set the whole pattern for this psalm, as well as, I think, our proper mindset when we think about missions and ministry opportunities. The first thing is a plea for God to be gracious or merciful to us. That is, we recognize our sin and we recognize our need of grace from God. That's the first thing, is recognizing our own sin and our own need of grace from God. And one of the ways in which we may need grace from God is because of our lack of concern. We're just complacent. It doesn't move us when we hear of the needs of others, whether it's physical needs or whether it's spiritual needs. And too often that may be the case. So it may be that repentance is necessary there and forgiveness, that our heart is really not beating with God's heart. So we need mercy for that reason. We may also need mercy because we've misplaced our priorities, because we're too busy doing the wrong things. And I can attest to that's where some of that busyness comes from for me. That maybe I'm burning up my time in things that are not of the highest value. And that's something that I need to repent of and seek and experience God's mercy and God's grace for those kinds of things. But the overall and overarching idea here is that when we pray for God's grace, that means we're giving up any legal claim or any hope of our own righteousness or a claim of merit. So it immediately just chucks out the window any idea that I'm going to do this as a way of maintaining my relationship with God or earning a relationship with God. That's not what it's about at all. And so as I come pleading for mercy, pleading for God's grace, I recognize up front that I'm not doing this, I cannot do this in any way, shape, or form as a way to merit anything from God. The second thing is it's a plea or a cry for God to bless us. Probably the highest blessing, as Scripture says, is just being dressed in Christ's righteousness, to have His righteousness, a righteousness that is not our own, but a righteousness that comes from Christ, who lived a perfect life. Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." So when we talk about blessing, to get a blessing, if you want a blessing, it's more than just being healthy, feeling good, winning the lottery, something like that. The real blessing is to be dressed in Christ's righteousness, to have your sins forgiven, to have your sins covered by Christ. But I think there are some other blessings too. There are some more horizontal, temporal kinds of blessings. And one of those is a blessing on our marriages and other relationships. And we talked about that this morning. We've been talking about that for a little while. When God blesses us, typically it shows up in our relationships, doesn't it? There's a peace that comes in our relationships. There's a commitment and a drive to work through conflict and to get to the other side of that. And we see in God's blessing that happens. We also can think about blessings of grace on our church as we see people growing in the Lord and we see church members working in harmony and working through difficulties and working together and growing together in the Lord. That is a great blessing. But I don't want to rule out the possibility that God may bless us with things that He doesn't have to bless us with, and yet He often does. And that is things like blessing us with material wealth or success in our workplace or health or something like that. Those, when those come to us, those are blessings from God too. They're not things that we earn. And so when we ask for God to bless us, it's certainly legitimate to ask for those things within bowing to the sovereignty of God in those things. The third thing in this passage, or the first verse, is that we ask that God would make His face to shine upon us. That phrase or that prayer is used many times in Scripture. In fact, in the Psalms, it's used 7 different times, the same kind of prayer, that God's face would shine upon us. That, I think, underscores that this is not just a blessing that we just take and use on our own, but it's a kind of blessing that comes personally from the Lord. It's a personal relationship with Him. That's what real blessing is about, is God's face, His person toward us. Okay? And when I use the word personal, I don't want to communicate the wrong thing. I don't mean like a personal pan pizza where it's yours and no one else's. Okay? That's not what I mean by personal. What I mean by personal is relational, because it's corporate. He doesn't have just a relationship with me individually, but with us as a people. Too often that word is used very individualistically, and that's not really what I mean. But there is a personal, relational bond of love together with the Lord. The fact that His face is upon us shows that it's God's special attention on us. That he's paying special attention. It's not that God doesn't know everything that goes on in the universe, but just as heaven is somehow the special place of God's manifest presence, His face is the special aim of His attention. So that He's looking, He's facing us, he's concerned about our lives and about us. And along with that comes His delight. Because He doesn't look at us with a frown or with wrath, but He looks at us with joy, because we're covered. Our sins are covered and we are in Christ. And then finally, this His face being upon us is really having Christ Himself. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So it's not just the face of God in a generic sense, but it's the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? So why do we pray for these blessings? And why would God give these blessings? Well, I think verse 2 underscores what the purpose is, the why of these blessings. It says that your way may be known on earth, that your saving power would be known among all nations. That's the why. So this blessing is not just for us to take home and put in our pockets and we just go on our merry way. God never intended us to enjoy His blessings in isolation. He never intended that these blessings would stop with us, but they would expand and go forward and go on beyond us. They were intended, in fact, to attract others to our Savior. We don't pray for freed consciences just so we'll feel better. We want others to see to be freed of their sin. We don't hope for transformed marriages just so we'll be more comfortable and have fewer arguments. We want others to see the power of God at work in our lives. And we don't ask for a blessing on our labors just so we can be wealthy and have lots of leisure time. But we yearn for others to see the wisdom of God and the power of God at work in our vocations as well. Now, the believer's prayer and invitation to the nations is seen in verses 3 through 5. You see, it says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." Verse 4, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." Then verse 5, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." So we see this prayer over and over. A prayer to God that the peoples, the nations, would praise God and that they would be glad and sing for joy in God. In fact, it's really almost impossible to experience a blessing without drawing other people into it. isn't it? When we bought our van just a few months ago, it was such an unusually positive experience that we were telling everybody, you're just not going to believe what it was like going to this dealership. It was totally different from any car buying experience we had ever had. And so we were telling everybody about it. In fact, the goods ran out and immediately bought a truck there, and they didn't even need one. No, I'm just kidding. But they heard about it because we were talking about it, because it was an amazing experience. If you've read a good book, you want to tell your friends, hey, this is an awesome book. You've got to read this book. We do that kind of thing all the time. Now, I have to admit, I travel probably to a couple of big cities every year to go to a conference. And this may sound like real stick-in-the-mud sort of stuff, but normally I just go to the conference and sit in my hotel room. I very rarely take the opportunity to go out and do a whole lot of sightseeing. To tell you the truth, it just doesn't really appeal to me to go out and see sights either all by myself or with some professor that I barely know. That's just not fun to me. I want to do that with my wife. That's what, you know, I want to draw someone else into my delight. And it's not so delightful when no one else is with me. Well, that principle, I think, applies when we think about the way we relate to God. There's greater delight when we can draw others in to the delight that we're experiencing as well. We'll want to see others picking up the praise and passing it along. Discovering God is a joyful discovery, and it's something that we want to share. Now, we see down in verse 4, it says, "For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth." It reminds me of how much time and effort people put into politics and deal with government, shaping government and that sort of thing. We recognize that right government and just laws are a great blessing. But we're also reminded here that God alone is the only truly righteous governor. Only His laws are perfectly just. And His law is not repressive or loose or discriminatory or unwise. In fact, all of His laws are for our good. Too often when we're straining over an area of temptation, what's really in the back of our minds is, God is trying to hold me back from something good. He's trying to restrict my pleasure or the goodness or the sweetness of my life. But no, that's not it. Every one of God's laws is for our good. It's for our peace. It's for our blessing. And as we get to know Him, we will get to grow to love His government and praise Him for it, like in this passage. Knowing God's mercy and God's government are the path to true blessing and true praise. And to that, the extent that we experience God's mercy and its transforming power and place ourselves under God's government, we'll see God's blessing. Not because we deserve it, but because God is merciful. And now, that blessing will work itself out in some practical ways. It'll work itself out in greater productivity in our labor. It'll work out in terms of peace and satisfaction in our relationships. Those are byproducts. Not perfectly always the case, but generally speaking, those things come about as byproducts of the way in which God's mercy and God's law work. And ultimately, and we see this in verse 7, it says, "Let all the ends of the earth fear Him." This blessing will be reflected in holy fear of God, both in ourselves and others to the ends of the earth. Charles Spurgeon says, "The far off shall fear. The ends of the earth shall end their idolatry and adore their God. All tribes, without exception, shall feel a sacred awe of the God of Israel. Ignorance shall be removed, insolence subdued, injustice banished, idolatry abhorred, and the Lord's love, light, life, and liberty shall be over all, the Lord Himself being King of kings and Lord of lords." And that's a wonderful vision for all of us. And my prayer is that I, as I try to move past my initial reactions to some of these things, will be shaped by this vision in Psalm 67, so that whether we're going or giving or praying or encouraging or whatever role God has called us to in these particular endeavors, we do it because of mercy, because of God's blessing, and because of the relationship that we've received from God, and out of a burning desire to see others brought to joy in the Lord. So I hope this forms a framework for our thinking about these kinds of ministry and missions opportunities. Okay? So, that's kind of the general picture. Now, how are we doing these things at Grace Heritage? Let me just say briefly what we're doing generally and then move to these specific things. First of all, a key principle for us is that our only hope is in the power of God. We don't manufacture these things. We trust in the Lord. We trust that He will use us. But it's not us, it's not our wisdom or power or goodness or holiness that is the cause of anything good that comes out of it. And that principle implies two things. First of all, that God will work directly through His Word, that we trust in God's Word to do the work. So that means we're not going to leave out God's Word. We're going to lead with God's Word in our ministries. And second of all, He works indirectly in others through His own people, because the power is in Him. And so He can use weak vessels like us to demonstrate His power. And that's another important principle in the way we want to operate here. So, because of that, we believe God works through relationships. He's going to work through people that know us, that are able to see something of the grace of God at work in our lives. But He also works through a certain level of visibility. You know, if we're off in our own little cloister and we're kind of off, you know, doing our own little thing and we don't interact with the world and they don't see anything of us, then how are they going to see the power of God at work? So we want to do things at times to raise our visibility so that others can see what God is doing. So some of our strategies are, first of all, we want to be gospel-driven, which is why I did this sermonette at the beginning. We want to make sure that we're not doing this out of guilt or some sense of just expectation or something like that. But we want to be driven by the gospel, what the gospel's done in our lives and what it promises to do in the lives of others. And the second thing is that we want to protect and promote relational opportunities. And we say this occasionally, but one of the reasons why we don't have Sunday evening church every single week is because we want to kind of set aside a certain window of time in your life so that you can say, that time is something that I ought to strategically use in terms of reaching out to others. Now, it might be just encouraging others in the body, but it might be a way to, say, have some unbelieving neighbors over or friends, or do something to build relationships in some other way. Now, it may be that that's not the right time for you, but part of what we're doing there is at least communicating to you that we're not going to try to schedule you up at Grace Heritage so much that you don't have time to build outside relationships. We want you to build outside relationships. So we deliberately forego that extra meeting or those extra meetings in order for that to happen as one way to communicate that. And then another thing that we want to do is to keep evangelism and mercy up front and central in our teaching, in our conversations, and in our prayers, so that we realize we're just developing a culture of these kinds of things. These are the things that are on our minds. These are the things that are important to us. And I think that goes a long way beyond setting up a program where everybody goes out and starts knocking on doors or something like that. And I'm not saying that's not an appropriate thing to do at times, but the point is that we want to develop a culture here where these are important things to us. The things that become important, we get real creative about it, and we think of good ways encouraging ways to approach these things. Okay, so how do these two opportunities fit in? The first thing I want to talk about is City Fest, and I'll probably spend more time talking about that than about the Lakeshore thing, because I just know more about it, and that's more my thing than the other. But first of all, what is City Fest, and how does that fit into what we're doing? City Fest is a yearly event that the city of Auburn puts on at Kiesel Park. It's going to be this year on April 28th on Saturday from 8 to 5 p.m. And basically it's just they have all kinds of crafts and things out there, some music and things for kids to do and that sort of thing. About 30,000 people a year walk through there every year when they have this thing. So this is an opportunity to raise our visibility a little bit. It doesn't do a whole lot in terms of developing deep relationships because people are just walking by. But we're trying to, this is not a standalone strategy, okay? But it is one part of a larger strategy in terms of building relationships and making ourselves visible, just to kind of get out there. This is a community event. It gives us an opportunity to get out there in the community. But part of what we're trying to do here is we set up a booth and we give some things away. We give some books away and we sell some books. So this is where our principle of leading with the Word of God comes in. Okay, we're not just there. Okay, we're going to lead with the Word of God. Last year we were able to give out, I don't know, somewhere between maybe 150, 200 books, Piper's book, The Passion of Christ. And we've got a bunch more of those, which has now been retitled 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die. Basically the same book with a different cover. So we want to give those away. And we also will plan to give away a copy to each person who asks of these little CCEF books, which you've seen on our book table. This particular one on procrastination has been sitting on my desk waiting for me to read it for a long time. And actually, after waiting a long time, I finally did read it. And I'm just kind of waiting to read it again, and waiting around to put the principles into action. But anyway, the neat thing about these books is that, I mean, everybody struggles with stuff like this. And these booklets cover a huge array of regular kinds of problems that people have. But they deal with it in a very gospel-centered way. You open this book up and it goes right to the heart of the issue from a gospel perspective. And so we think we can do people good by having these things out there, giving these things away and giving the books away. Giving the Piper books away and having other books there for sale just to give people an opportunity to mill around. And so what we're hoping to accomplish, first of all, is to get the truth out. It's giving away and selling books to make people aware that we exist. Okay? To give some sense of what we're about. And as God gives opportunity to interact with people a little bit. And even for them to see us interacting a little. They can see us showing, helping one another and joyfully serving in this particular way. So this is one thing that we are looking for volunteers for to participate. We've got a sign up sheet here, and I've got it broken down into 2-hour blocks plus set up and pack up blocks. And we would really like to have, say, 4 people there at any given time, at least 3. But really what we'd really, really like to have is a big crowd just kind of milling around. You know, a few people there just kind of make sure things are, that people aren't loading up 20 or 30 booklets and walking off with, you know, to sell them at another part of the place or something like that. But we would like to just display some of our fellowship there. And so this gives us an opportunity to do that. And I want to just make this thing available. And we really need to go ahead and make some decisions and sign up for that, because that is 2 weeks from yesterday. Okay, so we need some help with that. Let me particularly encourage the few of our female college students to sign up for that, because we really would like to at least have 1 or 2 college students there, guys and girls. Okay, because we got a lot of college students walking by and that sort of thing, and it just, you're just going to naturally connect with them better than some of us old fogies would. And since we have so few female students, I think it's just particularly important that we represent that element. So just a little plug there. What should you say to people in that situation? Just be yourself. If opportunities arise, if you see an opportunity, then you can talk to them a little bit about the church. And I won't spend time on it now, but I have a little sheet of talking points that will help kind of in a nutshell form when people say, well, what's your church like? Then depending on where you perceive they're coming from, you have a few different entry points for how you can describe what our church is like, and in just a real short form, and see if that opens up opportunities. And then a few questions that you can just ask them to maybe get them talking about spiritual matters as a whole. Whether you choose to go to this and help with this or not, we certainly need everyone praying about it, because this is something we're trying to do corporately. It's one of our few big, visible kinds of efforts, and so we'd like everyone to commit to pray for that. Okay? Any questions about City Fest? Have I left out any obvious thing that you... Okay. By the way, last year we used Ray Rhodes' books and set those up for sale, but we sold so few, relatively speaking, of the books. We just didn't think it was worth the logistics of working out, having him bring all his books down and exposing all his thousands of dollars worth of books to the elements and that kind of thing. We figured our book table would pretty much cover what we need for that. So that's just one little change that we've made since last year. Now, the second thing is, Paul, I think, gave a pretty good summary this morning of what we're trying to do with the trip to Lakeshore. But basically what we want to do there is, we've been talking about Mercy Ministry for a while now, and this is one of those opportunities to stretch our Mercy Ministry muscles. Way too many M's there in a row. We want to stretch our Mercy Ministry muscles. This is, you know, after you've been taught for several weeks on a subject, it's nice to actually be able to really put that into practice. And this would be a good way to do that, to begin to stretch those Mercy Ministry muscles. And also, it's a great opportunity to build fellowship. It's just nothing like going on a trip and working side by side with other people and working with a common vision and that kind of thing. And we did this back over Thanksgiving in 2005 down in Slidell, Louisiana, and that was a great trip and really a blessing to us and hopefully to those that we worked with down there. And we look forward to something similar here. This church, is it all working on their church, or is it just out in the community?
Yeah, it's in the community. The church is kind of a central resource place. It's where all the housing is and the meals and the showers and things like that.
Okay. So this church is basically facilitating the construction and cleanup operations that are taking place in that area. And there's a great deal of damage from Katrina still to be dealt with. And this church is a like-minded church that we've had some other friends, other churches that have gone down there and had a really great experience with that. And we think this would be a good opportunity for us. This is tentatively scheduled leaving on Sunday, May 27th, and staying either through the whole week or maybe coming back midweek around Wednesday or something like that. So, and there might be two options. We just haven't worked that out. So that's another one where we need some commitments pretty quickly. I think April 29th is where we need a definite number. So so that would be helpful. So that's the gist of that. Does anybody have any questions about that opportunity? Okay.
I'll put these sheets over on the round table there. There's a sign-up sheet for Lakeshore and for City Fest, and there are some information sheets about Lakeshore, and so you can kind of look at that, and if that gives you more information, that'd be good.
I've actually got a little sheet for this, too, I'll give you. Okay. Paul, did you want to have other folks have a prayer opportunity here, or just you want me to? Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask Him to bless. Let's pray together and ask Him to bless these opportunities to work in our hearts, to give us wisdom about how to allocate our time and energy, and to keep our hearts focused on Him. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for the privilege of being Your people, for the great blessing of experiencing Your mercy and of knowing that You are giving us Your special attention and delight, and that You have committed Yourself to a relationship with us, and You've given us Your law to guide and govern us. Father, may we be filled to overflowing with that, with the privilege that that is, and may that experience move us to seek to share that with others. Father, may we be bursting with the desire to see others brought to praise You, to admire You for Your mercy and blessing, and for Your relationship. And Father, we ask that You would set our hearts right as we think about these ministry opportunities. Father, we do confess that we're often tired, and we're often busy, and we're often distracted. Help us not to respond with a works mentality, but help us to respond with a heart for the gospel. And I ask, Father, that You would move in just the people that You want for these tasks, and that You would draw people with the opportunity for blessing and to bless others. Father, we ask that You would give us consistency in our prayers for these opportunities as well as for others, that You would help us to be talking with one another about opportunities to see others brought to Christ, to do good to others. May it be our highest joy to show love to those around us, whether they are believers or unbelievers, whether they're family members right under our noses or those far off. Father, make us merciful people like You are merciful. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at the Best Western on the corner of College and University.